everybody. Welcome back to the podcast with me and Sam, my lovely sister.
Why is your voice shaking?
I don't know. Had a long day. Very long administrative day. That's my weekly update. You know those administrative days where you feel like you're like an administrative assistant, but for yourself? Yeah, like you're calling a bunch.
Every fucking day for me.
No, it was for me. I really got my shit. I felt really proud of myself at the end of it, but I was like from 11 to like 4, I was on the phone with Bell and auto insurance company and
Hydro. Did
you change
your phone plan?
Yeah, I did.
Already? And what did you do per month?
$75 a month for 60 gigs, which is pretty good. I found under 100.
But I feel like you could get cheaper than that if you tried.
No, the only options, because it was personal, I switched, was either the cheapest, which is like 30 something dollars, but no data. And then it was 75, and then it was 85 for 150, which I don't need. I work from home. I don't need that much.
I'm going to put that in my calendar.
So I called Bell. I had to renew my auto insurance. I had to call Hydro. And like, this sounds so like, I'm so spoiled, but like, you know, having to kind of do that yourself after not doing it for so long, I was like, yeah, anxiety. I was like, oh my God, like I'm calling all these places, all these people and getting quotes. And I told Mel, and Mel's like, welcome to adulting. Like, welcome to the rest of your life ever. So
she literally spam texts me as she's doing half of these things. She's like, Sam, do I do this? Do I do this? Oh my God, this. Oh my God, that.
But you didn't answer, which actually helped me because I was like, you know what? Fucking figure it out yourself. And I did it. Good. And I just feel relieved. I was like, everything's just settled. I know everything is. I know everything's going and I feel good. Another update. I joined Rover, which is a dog walking app. So I'm officially a dog walker on my spare time slash, I guess it's a little bit of a side hustle. And I've been doing very, very well. I'm very proud of myself. I've been getting clients left, right, and center. Dogs love me. So if you need a dog walker in your spare time, hit me up.
They also hit me up.
Well, because you're my emergency contact. And I think you should keep that just in case anything happens.
Okay, but I get all their text
messages. I put stop now, so you shouldn't be getting anything. I got a client today and you didn't get a notification, right?
No, but then how am I your emergency contact?
Okay, well, it's either one or the other. Do you want to know where I am or do you not care?
But like, I just don't want to get all the messages. Like if you guys reply to each other.
Okay, then I'll just tell you what I'm doing, where I'm going. But anyways, it's really fun. I don't want to make like my time with animals something that I dread now that it's like, oh, I got to do it for like.
Yeah, but you get to pick.
Exactly. I get to pick and I also still volunteer. It's not like I'm, you know, just. I don't want to make, it's not like a passion anymore. I just decided, you know what, if I have spare time or on my lunch, because I work from home, if I want to go walk a dog for some little bit of cachito, why not? And I really like it.
I am, weekly updates, like I'm actually burnt out the fuck out.
Same.
Like I'm so.
Same. I told Mel that this morning too.
You guys, I literally cannot, you know, when your brain is at the point where it's like you told me something that I could have been concerned about today. I'm not going to say what it is. But
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But my brain could not be concerned about it. And I was like,
I don't have the capacity to be concerned.
I don't
concerned
even care.
Anymore.
And also, like, what you told me today, we don't even have to include this, but what you told me today, it's like everyone does it. And it's been going on. Like, it's been like so.
I know, but like, you shouldn't do it.
Yeah. Well,
that's just another reason to be stressed if something were to happen.
Okay. Anyways.
And I wasn't down for
it. I literally feel burnt out to the point. It's not even that, like, I'm physically doing so much, just like mentally, my brain. If I get any more information passed towards me, like my brain might explode. Like between work and family and personal and like real estate and just like so many different areas and the podcast. And like I hate when that happens, like when things for the podcast get put to the back burner or not even to the back burner because like we're still here. But like
I don't feel that way with the podcast.
I don't feel like it's put into the back burner, but I almost feel like I when I feel really burnt out and like really busy, I almost feel like it's another thing on my checklist and I don't want it to be that.
I don't feel it's like that though. I feel for me it's something that I get to like actually do that's like I want to do.
I want to do it, but I'm tired doing it.
Well, yeah, I know, but I mean.
But that's kind of like a weekly update. I'm so, like, I don't know if you probably hear my voice. I'm literally so just burnt out and I just got a call before I came here of something that I need to do Saturday now and I'm just like, I choose to do these things, but then sometimes when the time comes around and it's like, okay, now I got to go and do this thing, like something that will make me money, yes, but like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, yes, it's going to make me money, but is it really making a difference in the long run? No, I don't think.
I mean,
so it's like.
Is it something consistent?
Not as of yet. It might be. I don't know, but I'm just so burnt out already that I'm just like, I don't have the capacity to even think about like what I need to prep for that day. And tomorrow's already Friday. Like,
Yeah.
I just feel so, well, I don't know. At least
next weekend's your birthday, so.
Oh, yeah.
You can kind of just chill out. She's turning 30, when this, so.
I'm not.
I'm kidding. It's a joke.
When, that's going to be offensive to people that are 30 and above. No, because I just, they're going to be like, are you calling me old?
No, I'm not calling you old. I'm just saying you're close to 30.
So?
Saying.
30, flirty and thriving.
Yeah. 13 going on 30.
Yeah, but this will be released.
Sorry, like, Chris. I don't mean to offend you. Like, no.
Yeah, sorry. I also didn't mean to, like, go on to whatever.
Like, well, he's 35. Like,
oh,
33
guys.
33.
Yeah, yeah. Do you see that? Okay. She's
you
just
look,
like,
you don't look a day over 28.
Eight. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's my birthday. I don't really even fucking care, to be honest, which is sad. Like,
we're having a party for you, which is nice.
Yeah.
It's a surprise party that Sam told us to plan, so.
No, I didn't tell you to plan a surprise party.
You kind of did.
You kept.
You're like, you and Roman are going to plan a party. I was like, okay.
You and Roman kept asking me what I was doing for my birthday.
Yeah, so like, okay, plan a party.
Yeah, because I didn't want to plan it. Because I'm just like, I don't really want to do anything or care. Plan. So plan.
Just inviting and then.
But I just don't want to. I don't like inviting people to my own party or birthday dinners. Like, I haven't done that in years because I don't like having to, A, like, almost like burden them with like, do you want to come to my birthday? Like, I don't know. Like, it's fine. A lot of people do it. But I just feel like
I feel like if you have like high expectations for your birthday and then expect every single person to be there and like, that's kind of different.
But don't tell me like you invite people to your birthday and then like if most of them don't come, you won't be kind of sad.
That's the same thing if I'm inviting them and most of them don't come.
No, it's not. Your birthday. Why? Not really.
Two people show up, you're going to be like, wow, great party. Like, you know.
I guess. I don't know. But anyways, yeah, my birthday is coming up. Fun times. I noticed as I've been waking up, I wake up like around like 6:30 a.m. in the mornings, and I've noticed it's dark in the mornings now. It's not
time of
year. So how do we feel about that?
I like it.
I don't know. I feel like when it's dark when I wake up, I either am A, like sleepier, but also I feel like I'm like one of the first people in the world that are awake. My grammar is not grammaring right now.
I feel like it motivates me to get up more when it's dark out. I'm not sure why. It just feels like it feels like it's early morning. When it's bright out, it could be like 6 a.m., but it's actually like, it could be like, sorry, bright out, and I can feel like it's like 8 a.m. It's actually, you know what I'm trying to say?
No, but I mean, like when it's dark out and you're awake and you're doing work, you almost feel like you're like ahead of everybody else in the world.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like it's earlier than it is. And it's
or
like
you get a workout done and it's dark and then you come outside of your workout and it's like light. Yeah. Anyways, love that vibe, but don't like the vibe that it's fucking freezing now and I can see my breath. That's why I wrote breath in my notes. No. I had a point that said breath in my podcast notes for updates. And my update is, it's not really an update, but it's just a random thought. I hate breath.
You've said this before.
Oh my God, dude. I was talking to someone the other day and and they didn't even have bad breath, but like
you said this before.
It was just breath. And I was just like, ew, like I don't want your breath. Like, you know when it just smells like breath? Like, it's just breath, but it doesn't have like a certain smell. It's not like it smells like garlic breath or bad, but it's just breath. And I don't like breath. Like, breathe the other way. Huh?
You have breath as well.
But I feel like when I talk to people, my breath doesn't project. You know those people?
Oh, it does.
No. Okay, but you know those people who consistently have projecting breath?
Not really.
Yeah, there's people, you know, that like when they
like
talk.
Like coffee breath all the time?
Yeah, but not even that.
I
just
hate
like
coffee breath.
No, just like breath, like heavy breath. Like if you're talking to someone, there has to be someone you know that like if you're talking not too far from them and they're talking like, toward. Yeah. Yeah, like they have heavy breath and you're just like.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was happening to me the other day. And I was like, please stop. Last thing before we get into the meat of the episode is. I've been implementing a lot of new wellness things into my routine because I don't think I've talked about this often, but like I have like really bad stomach gut issues. Like I've had it for years and like doctors will tell you it's IBS or whatever. Like I've gone to the doctors, they're like, oh, it's IBS, blah, blah, blah. Like you don't drink dairy, don't eat gluten. And I've been gluten-free or like try to avoid gluten for years. And I don't know. Recently, I've been feeling like kind of shit again. And I'm like, what is it? Like, what am I doing wrong? So I start to implement a bunch of wellness things that I want to share, both like physical things, like personal development things. Number one, which is an oldie, but I've actually been doing it consistently and it's a goodie, is celery juicing. Mm-hmm. I know it's like old and like some people do it, but I feel like a lot of people do it just for a fad. I actually have been juicing celery for like the last whatever. What?
That was funny.
And if you drink celery juice right in the morning, you're someone that has like stomach issues and issues with bloating, it actually fucking helps. It's been helping me. Like, it almost like resets your body for the day. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't taste like shit. Like, I cannot. I tried the green juices. I tried like the...
How about apple cider vinegar shot?
Yeah, I do that too sometimes. I've been starting doing that. That's not good for you if you have GERD.
No, I don't. I would do it for another issue, which I'll touch upon after you're done speaking.
Yeah, but if it's bad for your GERD, then why would you do it?
I don't
it?
Have GERD anymore.
You always have it.
No, not recently. I haven't.
Anyway, so celery juice, number one. Number two is now I am a pescatarian. So I know Fran's going to laugh. I don't care.
Like,
I just hate when I tell my family about my food choices.
Because
especially
your food
in Italian-
change like every month.
Oh, so?
I'm gluten-free. I'm not eating meat now. That's now I only- can't eat green vegetables. Now I
never
can't
said
eat
that.
Grain. Like, it's something
okay,
new
okay, you're
every
lying
month.
Through to
I'm
you
not
right
lying.
Now. When did I ever say I
I'm
can't
just,
eat
I'm,
green
I'm
vegetables
I'm over-exaggerating,
or
but I'm just saying, like, ask anybody in our family, and Sam will change, like, what she wants to eat, like,
the
very
only
often.
Thing was gluten-free. That's it.
I feel like there's more.
No, there wasn't.
Gluten-free than red meat you weren't eating for a while either.
Okay,
and you
so?
Said you're vegetarian.
I never said that. I said I'm pescatarian.
No, but before you said you were just vegetarian. You want to switch not meat. You don't want to eat meat anymore.
I just said I don't want to. No, I just said I don't want to eat meat.
Or dairy was one of them as well.
No, it wasn't. I just said I don't want to eat meat, but I am eating fish. Like, that's where I get, like, most of my protein.
That's good for, I think meat's very good for you.
It is, but my body does not digest it. And I tested it because I was eating red. Like, I stopped eating red meat for a bit. Then I started eating it again because I was eating chicken and shit every day too. And I had major, like, stomach aches for, like, days on end. And ever since I, like, cut it out and I've been taking protein and, like, vitamins from other sources, I feel so much better. Like, I just don't feel, like, those, like, gut and stomach issues anymore.
Well,
however,
fish is also very light, I guess. So.
Fish is light and it has protein, it has omegas. I know that red meat has vitamins that, like, you need in your everyday routine. But if you're going to implement any of this or, like, do any of these wellness tips, like, obviously go to your doctor and check. Like, I'm not a doctor. I've yet to go to my doctor and tell him I'm pescatarian. He's probably going to be like, okay. But, yeah, we'll see what he says. And then another thing is these are more beauty tips, okay? I don't know if they're actually proven to work yet, but I've been taping my face.
Yeah, I heard you talk about that with Bianca.
Oh, yes. So, basically, you buy K-tape and you tape your face. Like, in the ways that you want it to be lifted and go.
Yeah, I've seen that on TikTok.
And it reduces wrinkles and shit. And
I swear I can't sleep like that. It's so uncomfortable.
No, it's fine. So I bought kinesiology tape. And you're supposed to, like so it's, like, thick kinesiology tape, okay? And you're supposed to cut it, like, in half and then cut it in half again. So they're small strips and they're just, like along wherever your lines are. But my cosmetic scissors wasn't cutting the tape. So I had to use the big... I just had to use the one big strip. So I went to bed last night with a big blue strip of K-tape here and here. And Roman's like, what the hell is on your... Like, I don't know if it's going to work, but we'll see. And then another thing is Russian facial massages.
Did you go get those?
No, I do it to myself.
Okay, how do you do it?
I'll show you a video. But I can insert a video here. And I've been doing it every morning. And the way that I tell you that it... If you have sinusitis or, like, you have issues with, like... I don't know, like, you get headaches a lot from, like, sinuses, allergies. The way that it's actually helped is actually insane. I don't know if it's helped the way I look.
What's the technique of the Russian? Like, what's different between a regular massage and a Russian?
I don't really know. It's just, like, you're not using gua sha. You're using your hands. And the way she does it, she, like, drains the areas where there's hollows in your face. So, like, she was saying that fluid, like, let's say in your eye sockets, like, fluid, like, gets stuck in the hollows of your face. I don't know. I'm probably saying this wrong. So she'll, like, do techniques to drain it and, like, she'll, like, massage her scalp in certain ways because your scalp is really everything that holds your whole face up if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, it's, like, alternative techniques to Botox. There's nothing wrong with Botox, but, like, if you're young and you want to be preventative, like, maybe try this sort of thing. So these are all new wellness tips I'm trying.
Is it you who said that the skin doesn't droop, but it's a muscle? And that's
Yeah. Okay, like, her technique is, like, it's not the skin that's drooping or causing wrinkles. It's the muscle and fascia beneath it. So you're massaging the muscles of your face to make them stronger and hold up.
Makes sense.
Again, I don't know. I'll come back in a couple months if you guys think my face is more snatched and it's working. Anyways, those are my updates. Thank you.
I want to speak about something that I feel like people don't speak about because they're embarrassed, but bladder infections /UTIs, I get chronic. I can get them from literally anything, from not drinking water, from not peeing the second I have to pee, for drinking alcohol and then, like, not peeing. I get it from a lot of things. And recently it stopped and then it started again because last weekend I went to a party and I drank alcohol. And something about me is I just don't like to go pee. It's weird. Like, I don't like to stop what I'm doing and go to the bathroom.
I'm opposite.
I think it's a burden. I'm like, okay, just hold it. I'll be fine.
I'll stop the world to go to the bathroom.
But I held it way too long. And then the next morning I went pee and I was like, fuck, like, it burns. So after having chronic UTIs for a while, I've had, oh my God, I've combined some tips that have worked for me that I want to share, because if some women, or even men, get UTIs, but I feel like it's more common.
Do they?
Yeah, but it's more common in women. Get frequent UTIs, maybe this will help. First one is obviously like the mainstream is drink cranberry, but not the ocean spray cocktail. Yeah,
no, that's all sugar.
Go to Sobeys or go to wherever and get like straight, tastes like ass cranberry juice. It's bitter. It's so bitter, but I've been chugging it and like it literally, I feel like it like prevents it, A, and also makes it go away. Like it literally clears it. Cause I don't want to keep getting antibiotics for my UTI. Like I just don't like that.
Can I say something that might be controversial? I think getting antibiotics for things like UTI,
I think it can be treated naturally.
Yeah, I think that's just a band-aid. Like I think you need to go deeper into what the issue is.
And maybe I have to go to a natural path and like figure out if I have like some sort of issue. But for now, cranberry juice, also D-mannose, has saved my life. You usually take it when you feel a UTI coming on and then like it prevents it from coming. But
is that natural?
It's a natural supplement, I'm pretty sure. D-mannose, I think, comes from the inside of cranberry extract. I could be wrong, but wait, can you look it up to fact check? Because I don't want to say something.
D-mannose?
Yeah, D-mannose. What is it made of? I think it's natural.
I don't think it is.
Oh, well. Yes. Naturally found various plants and fruits and berries, for instance, cranberries. So that's really, really helped. I feel like when you have a UTI, you don't take probiotic. Why? Because you use antibiotics to take it away. So why would you be using probiotics? So I stray away from probiotic when I have one, but I'll use a probiotic like when I'm trying to prevent or to keep my gut healthy. If you're not
using an antibiotic to treat it, then why can't you use a probiotic in the meantime?
Because why you use antibiotics to take it away. So would a probiotic maybe like, no, but do you know what I'm trying to say? Would a probiotic make it growth if you already have it?
I don't know. I'm not.
Anyways, another thing is apple cider vinegar. When you feel it coming on, and a little bit of water, and literally just chug it or take like two shots. I know it's not the best for you, but two shots and it goes away. What else was there? I've tried like everything. Another thing that's really, really interesting is massaging the bottom of your feet, which I found.
Massage your own feet?
So I found on TikTok, apparently you have pressure points on the bottom of your feet that like kind of relate to different parts of your body. And one of them is like digestive and like your bladder. And I like massage these certain points on your feet and it actually relieves pain. It doesn't make it go away. It just kind of relieve the pain. And yeah, little tips. Thanks.
Fun facts.
Today, Sam's in the hot seat because it's her birthday coming up. And we did a me in the hot seat for my birthday week. So I'm going to be asking questions to Sam.
I've never heard these questions.
Nope. And she is going to be answering them to the best of her abilities. Let's start with an easy one. Well, it's not really easy, but since you are in a 7-year relationship or 8-year, and I don't know how much it is, since you're in a long-term relationship, how do you deal with feeling insecure at times or insecurity with yourself or with your partner?
I don't really anymore.
I'm even saying like in the past, how do you navigate the feeling of feeling insecure in a relationship or insecure in yourself, which projects that into relationship? Like, how do you navigate that?
We kind of like, you kind of just fight about it, like argue.
But fight about
what? Are you asking me what types of insecurities I've had or like?
Yes. Like what type of, have you personally had in your relationship that you've had to overcome?
I guess like not anymore. Like now I don't feel insecure at all in any aspect, to be honest with you. But I think before, I like to go out, obviously, sometimes. But I think, like, when I say I like to go out, I mean, like, I'm talking about, like, clubbing or, like, going to a rave or, like, going to one of those things. Like, I like to do that once in a while. But I mostly like to do things like go for dinner, go to a bar, or, like, go on a trip. Like, I would prefer that over going clubbing and shit like that. And when we were a bit younger, like, I was still the same way. But, like, my significant other kind of like to do that stuff more, like even with me there, but like I would get insecure if I wanted to, like if I wanted to leave at a certain time or I wasn't like having as much fun, I would almost like project that onto my significant other, like, and assume that like he would come with me and feel insecure about the fact that like he's staying wherever he is. And I'm like wanting to leave at a certain time because like he's having fun with other people and I'm not there. So that's something that I would get insecure about. And I like, now that I'm saying this out loud, that sounds so fucking immature. Like it's bad, but I used to get insecure because I would, not about like who he's there with, but that I'm not fun. And like, I always thought because like everyone used to call me like shy or like whatever, not as outgoing. I was always like, hey, I don't want to like not be the fun one. And I feel like if I were to leave at 12 or like 1 a.m. somewhere again, this is when I was younger. Now, like Rome wants to leave like early. I felt like people would be like, oh no, where are you going? And it's like, I just want to go home. Like, I'm like done. I had fun up until now. Now I'm done. And I used to get insecure about that sort of thing because
I feel like that's the only relationship. I feel that way now with my friends sometimes too.
Yeah, it's not only in relationship, it's with friends too. But that was like one thing that actually,
I guess because Rome's or her like boyfriend's kind of like very, I would say he's more outgoing than you, like yeah. Not in a rude way. He's kind of the life of the party, I feel like people yeah. Look at him as. So I guess where your insecurity is, like, he's like the party. I'm just kind of like, okay, let's go now.
Yeah, but like, I'm still having fun in the moment, but I was just like, hey, I want to go. And then I feel like I'm not fun. So that's like one thing. But like, that's all I can think of off the bat. Obviously, like the typical shit that you're insecure about, like early on. But yeah, that's it.
Do you ever worry that your significant other would get bored of you?
No.
Because it's been so long?
No, he's not going to get bored of me.
Yeah, but like, do you ever...
No, I genuinely don't.
Does that thought ever cross your mind that he would get bored or like the spark is going to go away or like desire?
No.
Okay. Interesting. Next question. Why are you blushing? These are hot questions. What keeps you up at night? Like, what is one thing? Okay, I kind of know, I guess, whatever. Not getting personal, not too personal, because I guess it's my business too. But what is one thing that when you lay down at night, like, what keeps you up? What's that one lingering thought that you're like, you harp on?
Death. Really? Not every night, but like, sometimes,
Dying?
Just like, sometimes, like, I lay down at night and I think about, like, what the point of life is.
I think about that all the time. It gives me fucking anxiety.
When I'm going to bed. And that is why I need to have something on every time I go to sleep. And everyone's like, turn your laptop off. It's not good for you. I don't give a shit. I can sleep a deep sleep with my laptop on. I need Modern Family or Friends on because
it's just ASMR for you. I really think you like it.
No, I don't like those noises.
No, there's different types of ASMR.
No,
though.
I don't like it. It reminds me, like, if I hear ASMR, it makes me feel like there's like, I don't know, like scary noises. They're scary.
That's
to
scary.
Me.
No, is it scary
I need
to, you?
To. Yeah, like if I'm just listening to like.
No, but
no.
Okay.
So I'll start thinking about like what the point of life is, and then I'll start like going in a spiral, and I'm like, what am I even doing here? And then I'll just start thinking about like my significant other dying, and he's like lying right beside me, and I'm like, oh my god. And then I'll start thinking about Kiki dying.
Oh my god, stop.
So then so that keeps me up. Also, our parents are separated, and like you know, family shit going on. That sort of shit keeps me up at night.
I think
all
the well-being of others keeps me up.
Yeah.
The well-being of my family, my mom, my dad, my sister, my boyfriend, like just thinking about them and like what they're doing right now or like how they are keeps me up. Like that literally like, it's just like, I want to like help everybody, but like, I know I can't do that to a certain extent. So.
Yeah. And then also I have an issue with like thinking about what I need to do the next day.
I always do that. That's why I plan out my days. I plan
it out. No, but I plan it out. Like I'll be like, wake up, go to the gym, plan this, start work. But
you made fun of me for doing that. Now you do it.
No, I do it. I don't go like wake up, brush teeth, wipe face with towel.
I don't do that anymore. I'm just saying, I'm just saying you made fun of me for like planning out my day to a T.
Well, I plan out my day. I just don't plan out like every movement I make. But that keeps me up at night because I think about what I need to do the next day, which is it's almost like not good. And I almost want to try and plan my day like in the morning, like wake up half an hour earlier, look at my day.
Oh, I can't do that.
But I don't know, like, I lately, things that have been keeping me up really are just kind of like Fran said, like, a lot of admin things. There's a lot of changes going on in my life, and, like, I'm having to mostly deal with things, like, me. And so, yeah, that sort of thing keeps me up. I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty of it, but just dealing with calling certain institutions and, like, people, like, I just, like, actually keeps me up.
What was the worst phase in your life, and how did you overcome it?
The worst phase, like personally, or like just
what do you
the
think,
worst
what
time?
Age do you think was the worst phase? Why? And how did you overcome it?
Fuck. I can actually think of one, but I don't think I should say this.
I said mine.
No, but like this is like kind of bad.
Just say it and then we can cut it out. This is off camera. Just say it. What is it?
Okay, so I
think. Oh, you're going to say it for real? Like, I'm asking you to say it to me personally and then just say it.
I'll say, like, if we're trying to, like, get vulnerable in here,
like
I should
we are,
say
like,
it, but it's like.
Okay, who cares? Just do it.
Uh, okay, I don't know. If we're saying like the worst phase personally, it was probably when I was younger. Worst phase in general, like with a, like in terms of like external things going on, could probably be like now-ish. Like there's a lot going on that's just like, that I can't control.
But you think it's your worst phase? Like no, in terms of where you are in life?
No, I don't think it's the worst phase. That's what I'm saying. Like the last couple of years, external things that have been happening that are kind of out of my control or coming to fruition have been like hard to grasp. So I've been navigating that by just like focusing on the good in my life and like just trying to move forward and taking each day by day. But the worst phase personally probably was when I was like an early teenager and like my friend died and I like started to have like really bad anxiety for the first time. And I used to kind of like hurt myself, but not like in a really like crazy way. But like I used to try and inflict pain on myself because I couldn't understand how like someone who was my age that young like died because there was like no real answer for it. So I used to like go in my room and do things like put a pillow over my head until like I could. This is really bad.
Well, it kind of makes sense because you're trying to, I guess, understand what it would feel like.
Yeah. So I would put like a pillow over my head until like I couldn't breathe. But then I would like I wasn't trying to harm myself really, but I kind of like was trying to just like push the boundaries. And I used to, I'm not joking, do it every single night. And I, like, or like play with belts and stuff like just around my body and just like squeeze them on certain parts of my body to like stop like blood flow. Like this is kind of like a little bit like
a trigger warning, I guess.
Yeah. Trigger warning for real. Trigger warning. Yeah. We should probably. Trigger warning. But yeah, so I used to like play with belts and like my none of my family knew I did that. Like I would never go to my parents and say that I was doing that just because like I wouldn't want them to think that like they had to be worried about me. But yeah, that was actually a crazy time. I used to have to sleep with pillows on my chest because I had such bad anxiety. For some reason, I would have to like lie there and like put something like almost heavy on my chest. Like I used to have a posturpedic pillow and I would put it on my chest just so I can like I don't know why, like it's super weird. And then I used to have major OCD that Fran used to make fun of me for, but it was really like.
No, another thing about it, it's actually, Sam used to have OCD with having her hands clean. I remember you used to wash them so much that mom used to put Vaseline on your hands and you had to sleep with socks on, you remember? Because you were germaphobe at one point.
Yeah, this was all during the same period, like my early teens. And,
did you
have
a therapist for this or?
It's kind of a blur to be honest. Yeah, mom took me, like my parents took me to the doctor and then he took me to a psychiatrist, but nothing came of it. Like, He was just like,
I always thought you'd get over it.
I just kind of got over it. Like, I don't know what it was. Like, I used to have major OCD. I used to have to like touch my dolls in my room 27 times. But it was to the point where like, I could not do it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so this was all in one area of my life. And how I got over it, to be honest, I don't really know. It just kind of stopped. I think I got over it because I went to like, I started going to like parties. I was in high school and I got distracted. So I didn't even think about those things anymore.
Yeah.
But like now to this day, like I think about how like that time in my life affects me now. And like I'm trying to like go back there and like recall the certain things that happened. Maybe it'll better inform like how I can react to things now. But yeah.
Okay. In contrast, what is the best phase of your life, do you feel? Or do you feel like it hasn't come yet?
I feel like you can find a best phase in your life at any point. But I think like how I said before, the last couple of years have been externally things I couldn't control have come up and it's been like quote unquote some of the worst years because it really has like in terms of, again, without getting into it, just external forces that you can't control. But it's also been the best couple years because like if I look at all the positive things that have happened, like where I am at in my career, like I'm really happy. The podcast, I don't know, everything like just like Kiki's come into our life. Like I think like the best has been the last couple of years, but also there's a lot of exciting things to come, I know, in the next couple of years too. So, I mean, that's a pretty broad question, so.
Okay. How would you define beauty and what's beautiful and how has that changed from maybe when you were younger, like a few years ago back in high school or like your early self? Like what is beauty to you now? And how has your perception of it changed?
I think that beauty is like weirdness. Like I think like the weird qualities of someone is like what makes them like beautiful. Cause like before I used to think, I kind of always thought this way, but never vocalized it because I wanted to be like I don't know. It's like you want to blend in with the crowd. Like, what is beauty? It's like the typical beauty standard, right? But like now I think that like if someone's drop dead gorgeous physically in front of me, and then there's someone who's like quote unquote average looking to the average person, but they're just like weird and quirky and quiet, I would be more attracted to that person as a friend, not saying as like whatever, like as a friend, than like the drop dead gorgeous person. Because like, I think that weirdness is what makes people unique. Like if you're weird, like you're really nerdy about something, or like you have like a weird laugh, or you're shy and like you twitch or something. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's so cute.
I think when I was younger, I feel like I based beauty or what was beautiful so much on social media, like Kylie Jenner era, or like that kind of like big lips and just makeup and like that kind of thing. We're almost to the point where I wanted to like imitate it, because I was like, this is what beauty is. This is what's beautiful. But as I get older, I feel like, this is so cliche to say, but everyone actually is beautiful in their own way. Like when I'm walking in the street and I see somebody like, or whatever, even just my friends or whatever, like you, or someone's talking to you, you can kind of pinpoint, I'm not saying this in a way like I'm flirting with them or anything. I'm just saying like to appreciate someone's beauty. You can be like, oh, like they have really nice eyes, or like their nose is cute. You know what I mean? Like everyone has something about themselves that makes them beautiful. So I do agree that like, I think beauty is very, it's just more uniqueness now than anything. Like beauty doesn't have to look the same. And I feel like that's where I thought it had to be. Like everyone has like a prototype of what's beautiful, because that's what movies make it out to be. That's what social media makes it out to be. Like you have to look this certain way. You have to have this lip and this nose. You know what I mean? Everyone's kind of like a prototype. It's just different types of that prototype. Meanwhile, when you see a lot of different types of people looking a different way, like you're like, whoa, like all this types of beauty kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think beauty is vulnerability. Like when people are open and honest, like in their personality and sharing things, I'm like, wow, that's like an actual beautiful person. People who act like they have it all together all the time, like I'm just like, you definitely do not have it all together. Like be real, like be for real.
Like Nana to me is beautiful.
Yeah.
Like my Nana is legit beautiful. Like she's a pretty old lady, but also just like her aura is beautiful. Like that's someone who's beautiful to me.
Yeah, energy too. Like
it's just like her like caring nature, just who she is. It's just like a beautiful energy.
And then there's people in our family that aren't so beautiful. Like that you know. No offense. I'm just saying, like, you know, like I do.
Maybe they're thinking about us. Like
I don't care. Like you can think that about me. But like there's definitely people in family or
like
friends.
Sorry, I think my boyfriend's mom, again, just kind of reminds me of Nana, just like a beautiful aura. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then like you can tell when someone's just like, I don't know, the people who pretend like they have it all together and just like
not beautiful.
Yeah, you're just like
you could
ugly.
Be beautiful on the inside, but you're
outside,
kind of like,
you mean?
Outside, sorry, but you're kind of like
yeah, you're
I think now more recently I just feel like you have to have both. You can't just be good looking on the outside. It means nothing.
And like this isn't to say that I don't care about physical beauty. No. I do. Like I'm not gonna lie, like I do. Like I want to feel like I'm pretty on the outside too, and like I do things to like make myself feel pretty on the outside too, but I care way more about the lasting impact I have on people through this podcast, through meeting them, through talking to them. Like I would sit with someone and talk to them if it meant them like feeling good or being able to vent to me. Like I'm that type of person. I think that that's what makes me like pretty on the inside.
It's kind of like a more random one, but are there any colors that you don't like to wear because you feel unattractive in them? Like, for example, like I love black, white, beige, whatever, but like you can't catch me fucking dead in like pink. I don't know. I just feel ugly as fucking pink.
I wore pink on this podcast once and I hated editing those clips.
Me too. I looked like washed out. And I feel like I've been wanting to kind of tap into that feminine more. And it's like, oh, wear pinks and wear floral and be kind of more. And I literally just, I feel ugly in pink. Like, I just feel like it doesn't fit me. And I'm not trying to be like a pick me. I don't like pink. But like, I just feel like that's one color that I don't like pink. I realize I like orange. Orange is a nice color on me. Or like a purple, but not pink. Or like,
I could do green. Like I
could do green too.
I look good.
Olive green though. It can't be like a bright.
No, I feel like I could do bright green too. My prom dress was bright green. Do you remember?
It wasn't bright. That was more like a deep.
No, it was bright.
I don't remember.
I could do green. Everything else, no. Like I just wear neutral.
Red, dress. I love myself in red.
Yeah, red's nice too.
But just pink. Pink is the one color.
I just think black is classic. Like I just look good in black.
Sometimes I feel boring in black. If I go out with like my friends, sometimes like I go out and then I'm the only one wearing black. But everyone's kind of wearing color. I kind of just feel like, am I boring? Like basic? Like
no, who cares?
Just feel like I always show up in black. What kind of parent do you think you'll be? And what would be your three rules as a parent? Like three like non-negotiable rules. Me and Francie spoke about this one like recently.
I don't know what kind of parent, I don't know really what that means.
Like as, do you think you're going to have the same rules as our parents had for us?
No.
Okay, what are three that you feel like you wouldn't care about?
I wouldn't care about?
Three rules maybe we had growing up that you'd be like, okay, my view is different.
I would not. I don't really know. Like, I'm trying
one,
to
for example, for me is the no sleepover rule. Like, we were never allowed sleeping over.
I was.
I wasn't. I was, like, never allowed to sleep over my friend's house. My mom just didn't like it. And my dad was like, you have a bed at home. You can come home. And I always just felt like, dude, like, you're making me come home. Like,
okay, when they're older, like, if my kids are young, I probably wouldn't like that either. Because you never know.
In high school. Like, I was.
You never know people's intentions.
No, I know. But I was quite capable of having a sleepover. Like, it just makes me feel
yeah,
like.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Another thing is the underage clubbing thing. I would allow that. Sorry. I would allow it if I knew where you were and if you texted me. Like, my parents didn't allow that, which made me lie about it, which made me not want to tell them. Like, I'd be the opposite. Like, you can go, but I want to know where you are. And if then you break my trust, then you can't go anymore. But at least I'll give you the option to go.
Probably same. I would probably focus a lot on like mental health. Like, I would probably ask my kids to, like, when they're really young, even if they're like toddlers, like, I would probably always say, tell me how you feel about that. Because I feel like this isn't to any fault of our parents, because I think a lot of people in our parents' generation and then their parents didn't ask their 5-year-old kids, how do you feel about that? Like, I sometimes feel like growing up, like, I don't want to speak for you or like for anybody else, but a lot of people in our generations weren't really like taught that they could have their own feelings or opinions about things. It's kind of like if your parents taught you a certain way, like that, it's always like, that's how I was raised, you know? And like, it's like that way and that opinion on certain things. And like to kind of grow out and unlearn certain things that you learned in your childhood or that you grew up with becomes harder. Like, you know what I mean? So like I would probably, and again, this is to no fault of parents or anything. I just think it was like society at the time. So I think I would like probably like very much always ask my kids how they feel about certain things. I would never make them do anything ever. Like I would not make them go to university, to be honest with you. What I would do is tell them that they need to be doing something. Like you either need to like go to work, go to university, go to college, go to the army, whatever. You just need to do something. And I would always encourage having a goal and like working towards a goal. It doesn't have to be your be all and end all goal. You don't have to be like, I'm going to be a doctor and work towards that. You can even just be like, I want to go to college next year and just go to college and see how it works out. Mm. You know what I mean? Like I would not make them do anything. I would also not like force like any, like, I don't know, like I wouldn't like force any sports or things on them, but at the same time, like I would want to, like
I encourage it. Yeah, I would probably just put them into everything and see what they like, because I feel like that's what my parents did.
Yeah, that's what our parents did too. That's one thing I liked is that like our parents like let us try everything, and like we were also fortunate enough that they were able to like afford to put us in everything, so then we can pick. So I would probably do that, but like I always think about like I would definitely ask my kids how they feel about certain things. Like I would want them to express their emotions and not hold it in, because yeah. I think that's important to learn.
I saw one lady say that like one of her rules for her kids and like her girls were babies was that like she's not going to force them to say hi to the parent or people if like they don't want to say hi in terms of like relatives. Like if they don't feel comfortable like going giving a kiss or like affection, that they don't have to do that. Which I'm like iffy about, because we were raised in a family where like you always say hi to your relatives and you always give people like, you know what I mean? So like for me, I've grown up with a sign that like that's disrespect. If you're not saying hi to someone, that means like you're not doing it.
Well, I mean,
if
you're totally ignoring them.
Like, but I'm saying as kids, as like toddlers or kids, like if they don't want to like give a kiss, they don't have to.
No, but like, I know if like you don't want to touch someone else, that's fine. That's like almost teaching them to like be able to respect their space.
Boundaries and stuff.
But I would probably encourage them to like at least wave at your fucking aunt, your aunt or uncle.
I saw another one that was really funny, and it was about how this lady got a beige bouncy castle for her like kid to be aesthetic. And then one lady stitched it like, who are you? You're actually not getting this for your kid. You're getting it for you. Like you're getting a beige bouncy castle to be aesthetic for you. Like how is that fucking fun for the kid? And I was like, that's actually so true. Like our parents didn't give a shit about that. They cared about the, our bouncy castle was like green, yellow, and red and blue. And we had like,
but that was also in the 90s.
It wasn't in. That's just like what it was. Like we had ugly birthday parties. It wasn't like an aesthetic, like who are you doing it for kind of thing.
Yeah, but that's just the times we're in now.
I don't know if I would
do
that.
That's one thing I would do too, that I would take from my parents and like not even just our parents, just like our families did it, is like they always had birthday parties. Like,
or she was like, what happened to like, she goes, my kid will be going to Chuck E. Cheese and like actually having like a fun time, not like a scheduled birthday.
Oh,
like,
that's one thing
I won't. In the ball pit at five and then here, you know what I mean?
One thing I won't do is like have electronics like very, very, very early on. Me neither. I just, but like every kid's different. Some kids like need that stimulation.
I'll also be monitoring the social media. I'm gonna be that parent. Cause like,
who knows at that time, dude?
I'm going to be monitoring social media. Like, you're not having Instagram until...
Do you know how much...
I'm also having your password to Instagram.
Do you know how much AI is going to be out like when our kids get social media? That's going to be in like...
Who knows what it will look like, but I'm just saying I will have the passwords until further notice.
My dad had my Facebook password. Oh my God.
Which, you know, what was a good idea? Because there's predators out there. There's
scary. I was in high school.
And I had that boy. I mean, I guess it kind of is an invasion of privacy for sure, but I mean.
Like, I remember one time dad had my Facebook password and I left my Facebook like on the homepage on our upstairs computer in the playroom. And I came home and I saw it open on messages. And that means that he was reading through my messages. And when you're in grade nine, like the messages you get, like,
yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. What one was here? Okay. This is, I guess, my last one because. We are running out of time, but you have 1 hour to talk with your younger self or inner child. What would you say to her? You know what picture comes to mind? The one where you're like, look kind of like an old lady on the fridge.
What?
Where you look like an old lady on the fridge, like with mom, and you're kind of like.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Like if she said to you, like, hey, do you have any advice for me? You're like.
Oh, I feel bad.
Why do you feel bad?
Because I was so cute and like shy. I would probably say that like it's okay to like be who you are and like you don't have to compete with the people who are louder than you, who are more bubbly than you. Because I think as a kid, I always felt like I needed to like compete with people to like be the loudest person in the room. And I was always so shy and timid. And I would probably also say that like, it's okay to be sad sometimes because I also always felt like I never expressed my emotions. Like, even, like, growing up into, like, a teenager and stuff, which kind of circles back to the first question about, like, the worst phase in my life. Like, I didn't outwardly express those emotions I was feeling just because, like, I never did as a kid. So I think I would say, like, it's okay to express your emotions and, like, tell people how you feel when you're feeling sad. You don't always need to be happy all the time. And I would also tell myself not to put a lot of pressure on myself because I literally did for everything. And I think I am the way I am now because I did that. Like from when I was younger to when I went to high school to when I was in university, I put so much pressure on myself just because like I needed to be the best at everything for some reason, which also I think ties back into being shy. Like I was shy, so I had to prove myself in other ways. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, let me get the best grades. Let me show these people like I can do it because I was never the loudest person or like, most outspoken person. So yeah, that's probably, I would probably say a lot, but I mean, for time's sake, like that's probably some things I would say. I would also say that like, you don't need to be like so skinny. Like I was chubby as a child.
Skinny as a kid. That's what,
sorry?
You weren't skinny as a kid.
I know, I was chubby.
Yeah, but so?
But I felt like I was just like chubby. Like, like okay.
Because it was opposite for me. Everyone used to call me skinny.
No, I danced.
And I was kind of like,
so I used to do dance and I always felt like the odd one out because I was like, I had like a little like kid booty. Like, you know what I mean? Like I was, you know that picture of me doing ballet when I'm like this?
Yeah.
And like I literally have a little bubble butt as a child. I know it's kind of weird to say, but like I did. Yeah. But like I always felt like when I was wearing like the ballet unitard and even as I got a little older, I had like, I don't know. Like I just wasn't like a typical like looking ballerina, I guess. And I'm sorry, there is like the typical stature of a ballerina. There is. And I wasn't like the best dancer, like it was whatever, but I always felt like, I was like, damn. Like there was points when I went to, okay, this is also a trigger warning, but there was points when I was dancing, when I was like, I was actually really young and I got a duet. Like I was almost a better dancer when I was younger than when I was a teenager because I didn't care about it as much because I was in high school and shit and I wasn't amongst like the top dancers or whatever. I was just kind of in like a whatever category. When I was younger, I was actually really good and I was in a duet, I remember. And I, at a young age, I was probably like, I don't know, 8 or 9 or 10 around there. I remember like, this is so bad. I remember eating and then like using a toothbrush to make myself throw up before I went on stage because I didn't want there to be like recordings of me being like full. on stage. Mm. Like, I would literally do that. And I was 8 or 9 or 10. Like, I would eat and, like, I would literally get my toothbrush. I packed my bag. And this was when I was at the ballet studio, like, downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, 8 or 9 or 10. And, like, sometimes I remember that vividly because I think, like, after I used to do shit like that, I was, like, what am I? Like, I don't think I understood what I was actually doing. Obviously, looking back now, that's, like, a form of, like, an eating disorder. But it didn't last a long time. It was just, like, a couple times here or there before I went on stage, I would do it. And, like, looking back, I feel bad for my younger self because it's, like, if that was my, like, kid or something, like, I would be, like, you don't need to look a certain way to do that. But for some reason in my head, I thought I did.
Mm.
And I wish I told my parents that or, like, told people that because they definitely would have been, like, do not, like, you don't need to be doing that. But I just never did. So how about you?
Probably same kind of idea. Just, like, not fitting in. Or for me, I think it was opposite. Everyone when I was younger was, like, you're so clumsy. You're such a klutz. You always lose everything. You always forget everything. And, like, I'd feel, like, kind of insecure about that. I've spoken before too. I was a skinnier kid and I always just get like, you're so skinny, like eat something. Or like, oh, I can like break your arm in half or blah, 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 blah. And I'd be like, oh, if they just sitting there like, I'm just me. Like I play a lot of sports. I was really athletic. I ate a lot. Like I ate, but just my
metabolism. She probably ate more than me.
My metabolism was just like, I'd run all the time. I'd do track and field. I probably tell myself the same thing. I can go into it too, but it's your hot seat. So
yeah, we could probably have a whole other We should have a whole other podcast about, like, pretending to talk to our younger selves.
Yeah. You can invite somebody.
Like an inner child healer. I need some inner child healing. Anyways, we had some trigger warning.
Thing on the next time.
Okay. Anyways, we had some trigger warning points in this episode, but I was just, like, trying to be a little bit more vulnerable. And, like, I can probably go into a little bit more detail on some of these things, like, later down the line. Or, like, if people are receptive to what we've been talking about and what I've been saying, then, like
the more real we are, the more people are,
I know, but it's just, like, a weird thing to put on the internet. You know, like, think about it. You know what I mean?
But I mean, like, we're keeping it gentle. It's past 100 episodes, so it's about time. I have a quick little, I guess, more lighthearted thing. I saw this TikTok. I always see things on TikTok. But it was, like, men's icks, right? And I feel like you feel ick, and you're like, okay, whatever. And it was funny because it was a guy stitching a video. And two of the girls, one of the girls was like, an ick is when guys wake up and they're like confused, like, oh, where am I? And she's like, you should know where you are. You're a man. Okay. And then the second one was when guys drink Frappuccinos and are sucking on like the green Starbucks straw. And then this guy switches to his notes and it's like guys icks. And it's like a bunch of icks that like he's been writing down, I guess, seeing from videos. And I want to read a few because me and Francie were legit dying. One second, let me find it. I just feel like an ick is something that, like, actually turns you off, not human things that people do. Like, waking up confused. You can't fucking, I always wake up, I'm like.
Yeah, but no, but an ick is just, like, a random thing that just, like, turns
ick
you.
Ick for me is, like, long nails on guys.
No, that's just, like, something that's unattractive. An no, an ick is, like.
No, I find that's an ick.
An ick is, like, if, like, they tripped over the cord and fell.
That's rude, though. They can't control that. Like, what if you tripped over and fell?
I don't know. Maybe that's
like, an ick. Look at some of the icks of this
guy. Wait. We know what a really funny ick is. On TikTok, it was her driving. No, sorry, her boyfriend driving. They went over a speed bump and he went like this. And he like lifted off the seat, but she didn't. And she was like,
but that's not an ick. That's just a human thing. Look what this guy's notes are. Don't use a trampoline. Don't skip a step. Don't sit down.
Wait, whose ick is this? The guy's ick for the girl?
He's like making a joke of like all the icks that he's seen.
Oh, okay.
Don't be cold. Don't post on social media. Don't tie shoelaces. Don't ride a scooter. Don't hula hoop. Don't sit. And then it says, don't do a warm up in the gym. Like a bunch of shit that girls have said is an ick. Like those are just human things.
Yeah, girls take it too far. Like
they don't use a straw. Don't use Apple Pay.
What? Girls just want, like, so these girls are saying an ick is when they've drank from a plastic straw from Starbucks are girls that just want, like, alpha male energy. Like, they just want an alpha male to sit there.
Like, poor and guy
just,
wants like, to fucking enjoy the Frappuccino.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hate those guys who, like, are just, like,
what?
Like, those guys who, like, looks like, no, it's an ick for me. The guys who look like their face are tight. Do you know exactly who I'm talking about? Who are just, like, this and wear, like, a really small Gucci shirt or, like, one of those, like, white. I'm gonna get fucking hate for this, but I don't give a shit. One of those guys who just like look like handsome Squidward all the time. Like, or like, you know what I'm trying to fucking say?
Yeah.
I have a picture in my head.
Yeah.
And Francie was doing a face once. I'm like, ew, like, don't do it. He was like,
The fuckboy face.
It's not a fuckboy though. It's just a certain type of person who just smell like over cologne and oh, have, yeah. like, we're just like,
and they're usually
uncomfortable.
They're
in the
at
body.
The gym.
Like, they're uncomfortable in, like, themselves.
They probably are uncomfortable. Like, or they walk around the gym, like.
Not that their body, like, I'm not shaming them. Just the way that they, like, stand on purpose, like, breathe.
Those people are probably trying to overcompensate, too. They're probably trying to have that, like, posture, position themselves. Like, they are that alpha male. They don't need to, like, move. They can just stand there and, like, be your bodyguard type of guy.
I hate statue people. I used
you
one.
Used to be a statue person. So, don't Fran be a statue. Fran used to move her head like this so that her hair wouldn't go out of place.
Been better, though.
Yeah, okay.
Anyways, guys, that was our episode. It's 10 p.m. We're fucking tired. I'm sure Chris is like, get the fuck out of here. Anyways, thanks for watching Sam in the Hot Seat. Hope you guys enjoyed and got a little bit more vulnerable with us today. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.